This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, and he joins us every Monday in the 12 o'clock hour, and we appreciate same. Guy, hope you had a great weekend. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I did. Enjoyed Sunday's football a lot more than Saturday's.
Yeah, Saturday's was pretty butt ugly, to say the least. Was not fun by any stretch. So, Guy, COP 29, they have their conference going on in the current state of the green movement. I think our mayor didn't miss that conference. She's there, from, if my memory serves me correct. So what's going on with the Greens?
Well, it's an interesting time. COP 29 stands for the Conference of Parties. It goes from November 11th to November 22nd. And it's one of those things that really makes you scratch your head. And look, I'm in favor of looking for ways to create a better and cleaner environment, and I think there are a lot of things we can do. But this conference is peculiar for a bunch of reasons, starting with the location. It's in Baku, Azerbaijan, which most of us have probably never visited. I doubt if we can find too many people in New Orleans who've been there. The head of Azerbaijan introduced the conference with these words. He said, "It's great to have you all here. Glad to be talking about all of the climate issues. But I want you to understand that oil and gas are a gift from God." And, you know, when he was through talking, then the head of the UN had to get up and say, "Well, of course, that doesn't mean we want to use more of it." And the prime minister, not to be left out, said, "But of course, countries like ours that depend on oil and gas should not be considered to be the problem. And we shouldn't be the ones to pay the price for climate change." So it starts with a very odd location. Why would you put the conference there? Because it doesn't have real commercial air service, so everybody flew by private jet, or at least most of them did. So you've got 40,000 people showing up with private jets, big carbon footprint. And the idea this time is we're going to allocate the cost so that rich countries pay poor countries for climate change. Now, not eliminate climate change, but basically pay reparations or a pollution tax based upon metrics to be created. And that was one of the primary objectives of the conference. And it's hard to see that working real well with the rich countries desiring to write big checks with an open-ended commitment year after year based upon climate change.
And the enforcement provisions would be what? Membership in COP?
It would really be up to people's scouts' honor. And that hasn't worked so far. There have been commitments before to payments, and they haven't been fulfilled. One of the challenges is the biggest polluter right now is China. That no one's close. China is 30% of global emissions, and what China has said is, you know, it really is a great idea for rich nations to pay for climate change, but we're a developing country, and therefore we're not going to pay anything. Now, China is the biggest polluter. Also, their pollution is going up, biggest user of coal, biggest financer of coal plants, and the second biggest economy in the world. If the United States and the European Union quit producing any CO2, in 10 years, China's growth in CO2 emissions would eclipse those reductions. So it's really difficult to look at China saying, we're just not going to contribute anything. The other problem is, if you really could get the climate scientist in a room without any social media, without anyone harassing them, they would tell you that you can't really fight climate change. It is something that always goes on. The climate is always either warming or cooling. And at this particular moment in geologic time, we're coming out of a cooling period and going into a warming period. So the climate is going to warm. You can't fight that. It is occurring. Now, they will also tell you that we think probably human action is increasing the warming, making it a little warmer than it would be otherwise. And there are things we could do to slow that down. But we can't stop climate change. So you have some irrational arguments. We're going to stop climate change. You have ignoring the reality that the climate is always going to change and that we are in a geologic period where the climate is going to get warmer over the next millennia. So we get some misinformation, and that's one of the problems with the climate debate is a lot of people who really sincerely believe it's a big problem have said things that aren't really true, and they've exaggerated dangers, and they're losing public support. And I think anytime you have a big issue that's important, it is critically, it just absolutely essential that you don't exaggerate, that you tell the truth, because if you don't, then the opposition will seize on those stories and say, well, they made it all up. It's like, they didn't make it all up, but they made some of it up. And that's one of the problems with the democracies not wanting to be on board right now, because they're losing confidence in the experts.
Interestingly, in this lame duck period with the Biden administration leading into the incoming Trump administration, there seems to be a move afoot to try and lock down a whole bunch of revenue sources and grasping onto some ideological things about climate in the hopes of that not being reversible. I can't imagine that that's a good thing for this country, right?
Well, it really whipsaws the companies. One of the things that's happening is the SEC, with a thin 3-2 majority, is saying, well, we need climate disclosures in financial statements. Now, you imagine a bank. How in the world is a bank supposed to know what's happening in the climate? I mean, we're not climate scientists. Even the climate scientists don't all agree. So you say, well, it's probably getting warmer, and yeah, South Louisiana is subsiding. There's no doubt about that. We have coastal erosion. Those are real issues. But the more you go into it and the more research you put into it, the more challenges you have. And one of the dangers that companies have found is they've been sued for disclosures that they made 3 and 4 years ago on CO2 emissions, climate, et cetera. So companies are very reluctant to put anything specific in their annual report now because of the danger of lawsuits. And it's also really not particularly helpful to investors because no one really knows how this plays out. We know for sure that the whole world is going to get a bit warmer. We know that we can adapt to warmth because we've done it in the past. But the SEC wants companies to put those in their annual reports and to do it in great detail. Now, I think that's the sort of thing that will be reversed. An incoming Congress has a period when they can reverse regulations. The methane tax is one that will probably be reversed. The climate will probably be reversed. one of the most counterproductive moves was a moratorium on new CO2 exporting plants, not CO2, natural gas, condensed natural gas exports. Our exports of condensed natural gas reduce emissions globally because it's a very clean source of fuel. It also takes pressure off of Europe in their attempt to defeat Russia in Ukraine. So there's some things like that that I think will be reversed. And I think at this moment, some of the things that are being done are just sort of pro forma. We know they're not going to stand up, but we'll do it to satisfy the base, and then we'll argue about it later.
But are these climate disclosures that they're requiring of you guys and folks, I mean, is this like tied to some specific activity that y'all are involved in? I mean,
well, it gets worse. For banks and financial institutions, it's tied to what you're financing. So now, in addition to every other bit of information that borrowers have to provide to us about their plans, then banks would have to ask, well, okay, tell us about your CO2 and methane emissions, what your plans are, how that's going to go up or down, and then you report what these people have told you about that and what you're financing. And then there's pressure, you know, we need you to finance more green initiatives. And look, we're thrilled to finance green initiatives. We're excited to have one of our own. We're doing a totally solar-powered branch. But when you get pressured to require that information from customers, it really is challenging because you don't know if what they're telling you is accurate, because they may not know. They're giving you their best estimate, but sometimes the estimates are wrong. And then if you get sued if the estimates were wrong, it really raises uncertainty and actually doesn't get you anywhere. I mean, there are a number of positive steps we could take to reduce CO2 emissions in America, but we can't seem to get our arms around doing productive things instead of things that are more performance-oriented and, you know, sort of showtime events.
So if I came to your bank and I wanted to finance a new trucking company because I was going to move goods across the country, they would want to know whether or not I'm utilizing diesel as opposed to EV trucks and what my carbon footprint would be as a result of the utilization of diesel trucks. I mean, it seems to me that it's an overreach by government to try and discourage the financing of traditional fossil fuel vehicles.
It is, and it's not really productive because what we discover is some of the disclosures are inaccurate. You might say, well, I'm adding two new electric trucks and two new diesel. And what you're not saying is, but the electric trucks have to be parked for 4 hours a day to refuel, and they have very low carrying capacity. You know, I remember Frito-Lay made a big, big thing about using electric trucks. And people in the trucking industry were interested and a little surprised because electric trucks have a short range and low carrying capacity because the batteries are so heavy. And when they dug into it, the people at FreightWaves, which analyzed these things for the industry, dug into, well, what are you exactly hauling? It turns out they're hauling potato chips. Well, no kidding. A truckload of potato chips doesn't weigh too much. Try hauling a truckload of, iron, pallets of concrete, any sort of heavy thing that goes in a truck, and the electric vehicle doesn't really work. But they were really proud of the fact that they had electric trucks hauling potato chips around. Well, then you get into somebody suing you. Well, you didn't disclose.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All the details. And that's the uncertainty that that people don't want. And that's what the SEC rule would cause, is a lot of uncertainty and disclosures, and would be a big problem for financial institutions and for everybody else that's a publicly traded company trying to meet these climate disclosure.
Let me go out on a limb here just a little bit about what the SEC is probably not asking to disclose is the cost to the consumer by virtue of you utilizing EV as opposed to fossil fuel, right? I guess they're not asking for that disclosure.
No, and they're not asking other things like, what about roads? One of the things that we know is the heavier the vehicles, the quicker the roads deteriorate. So for a city like New Orleans, it has a hard time keeping roads in good shape. If you have much heavier vehicles, our road deterioration will accelerate. And that's just an unfortunate reality. One of the other things is, because the vehicles are heavier, you need stronger bridges, because they were designed for a regular weight, not the new enhanced weight. Your parking structures need to be rebuilt, or you have to reduce capacity. In some places in California, they've had to reduce the number of cars that can park on parking decks because they have a lot of electric vehicles, but they're very heavy. And the parking decks just can't stand that extra weight. So, no, they're not looking for you to disclose those costs. It's more, what are your CO2 emissions? And one of the things that's lost in this discussion is the U.S. has done better than any other country. We're reducing our CO2 emissions faster than the European Union. And we're doing it primarily because of the transition to clean natural gas. So we're making good progress. Our emissions are lower than they were 30 years ago in terms of CO2. So we're doing well. The Europeans are actually doing pretty well. But the accelerated pace that is being pushed by the groups at the COP29 would be incredibly expensive and would not actually solve the problem. And that's the challenge that this conference faces, and the challenge that voters are facing, which is why they're voting out groups and politicians that are extremely pro-green. It's not that they're opposed to green. It's just they feel like the pace is too fast. And some of the things that are being done are irrational.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, we got to get to a break. And let me correct myself. I think I was talking about the wrong conference that the mayor was at. I don't think it was this one, but maybe not yet. There's still time. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Let's talk about the Fed chair, Powell, and rates. Are outlooks changing?
Yeah, it really has. And it's unfortunate because inflation looked like it was trending down. The latest info is a reversal. CPI is up a touch, and core inflation is 3.3, which is the thing that the Fed likes to look at and focus on. So we got a CPI of 2.6, and that's a bump up from 2.4. And core at 3.3 is a real challenge, because that's the one that the Fed says is most important and that they want to pay a lot of attention to. So what's the result is a lot of the Fed governors are saying, we're in no hurry to cut rates. And the long-term rates are actually going up. Any rates for terms from 3 years out are actually higher than they were in January of this year. So you have people like Fed's Goolsbee saying rates will not be a lot lower right now, but maybe in 18 months. Gus Carey says we could have fewer rate cuts. And another governor, Governor Logan, warned the Fed should proceed cautiously. So they're now only a 58% chance of a cut in December. I still think that's going to occur at 25 basis points, but it may be after December, there may be a pause if inflation remains high.
So, Guy, that obviously has kind of a chilling effect that it sends across the economic sector, right?
Oh, yeah, it really does. We're practicing sales pitches and, you know, how do you introduce yourself? And one of the mortgage lenders said, "Hi, I can't give you a low rate right now, but let's stay in touch because rates may drop in the future." It's like, okay. So it's sort of leading with your chin, sort of like Mike Tyson in the fight over the weekend.
Right,
I guess it was a fight. I'm not sure what it was. But anyway, it means that mortgage rates are not going to come down in the short run. And we've talked about that before. Until we get the deficit under control, that's probably not going to happen. But what's concerning is short-term rates, the 3 months, 6 months, may not come down as much as we thought. And that's going to be inflation dependent as well. So we're facing a challenge. There is some optimism. Deregulation is deflationary. You know, that tends to reduce cost because, you know, we are in a very regulated environment. We can afford to do some deregulation without affecting, you know, consumer safety or other things. And I think that's an optimistic change. But right now, it's very uncertain, and the Fed is just saying, you know, we're just going to wait and see, which is what they've been saying the last 2 years. We'll be data dependent.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of moving quick, right? I mean, you and I talked, 2 weeks ago? The trend was completely the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, inflation, the CPI, 2.4, 2.2, looking like it was going to hit the 2% mark, and now it's reversed. One of the challenges of the auto sector is really tough. And, you know, Elon Musk is a lot of things, but he does know how to build cars. And someone said, well, what about a $25,000 EV? He said, it is easier to invent the car and build a factory than to take 20% of cost out of an existing car. He said, there ought to be movies about heroes that can do that. And I thought, yeah, not likely. Gladiator's not going to feature a cost-cutting auto exec. But he said it's just heroically difficult to cut cost from manufacturing. And so we're seeing vehicle prices stay high, and it's a real challenge to reduce inflation when, you know, you have things like houses and cars that are not going to come down in price because of the complexity of making them.
No, not at all. Let's talk about housing, and I mean it's a great topic to pivot to. The housing market in Chicago finds itself distressed, and this may be an indication of things to come for others. Tell us about it.
It is, and I think sometimes it's good to see what other people do. You know, one of the things people have said about the U.S. is because we have 50 different states and 50 different legislators, you really have an opportunity to see what works and what doesn't work. And Chicago is giving us a good example of what doesn't work. And so it's a warning for the federal regulators and federal legislators. It's a warning for us. What Chicago has done is increase spending, and they most recently passed an additional tax on millionaires, an additional 3% tax. And it's actually an advisory opinion, and they floated it to see, okay, did the voters want to do this? And the voters did. They voted 60%. Yeah, that's a great idea. Tax those guys. But what they didn't realize is a lot of those folks are leaving. So Ken Griffin owns Citadel Hedge Funds, sold his Chicago properties, and moved to Miami. One of them he paid $34 million for. He could only get 19. Now, no one's crying tears for Ken Griffin. He's very rich. But it's indicative of what's happening at the high end, because when you tax people at a high level and they have options, they'll go somewhere else. And so Ken Griffin has gone to Miami and bought a lot of properties. And, you know, he had four other properties that he sold at losses. He had a condo unit at the Waldorf Astoria sold at $10.2 million, which was a $3 million loss. And one of the reporters asked him, so, well, how do you feel about these losses? He said, well, I'm not happy, but I've made so much more on my Florida investments that I'm well ahead. Well, that's not great for the city of Chicago. And you have people like J.P. Morgan Asset Management. They had a 19-story office building that they paid $140 million for. They sold it for $80. So they're voting with their dollars and saying, you know, we just don't want to be there. And the top realtor at Christie's Real Estate said, what I'm doing is just telling high-end sellers they have to be realistic. What they thought they could get for their properties is not what they can get now. So there's a significant decline in value, and people are struggling. And we've all heard of Michael Jordan. He has a spectacular mansion, and you'd think people would want to live in Michael's house. On the market for $40 million, price cut to, cost him $40 million to build, priced at $29 million, no offers, currently priced at $14.5 million, had an offer that blew up. And really, it's a question of how long it'll take. And this is an iconic place. If you want a place with a cigar room, a trophy room, a full-size basketball court, you know, beautiful pool, et cetera, this is Michael Jordan's house. No luxury was omitted, no expense spared, but you can't sell it. And so the point is, if you really antagonize the wealth creators in a market and you make them leave, you can destroy value. And then ultimately, you have to tax real people. And the taxes that they're proposing next are really concerning.
Well, Guy, you're seeing this reveal itself, too, as any number of cities, and city in New Orleans is no exception. You know, we just passed this 2% of the overall budget is going to be spent on affordable housing. But, you know, the folks that are building affordable housing, they're upside down, right? So what government's willing to give and so forth or provide for in assistance, the chasm is pretty huge. So people just aren't. Investors are not building it because it doesn't make any sense, right?
Well, and it also creates lack of flexibility. So now you have less money for general budget. And if you poll the folks in the city, what most of them will tell you is the challenges that they face in New Orleans are the crime problem, and that is, thank heaven, getting better. But just basic infrastructure, the stoplights don't work. The roads are not paved. You know, the water is not, you know, sewage and water board can't bill accurately. You know, the basic infrastructure needs need to be fixed. Dedicating a part of the budget to affordable housing might be a good theory and might be a good idea, but it limits flexibility to solve the other problems.
And but it doesn't generate enough money to encourage investors to really get into the affordable housing or subsidized housing market because the chasm is too wide, right, as to what it costs today because of inflation and cost of building materials and everything else and the rent factors that they're willing to pay.
Yeah, you can't subsidize your way to success there. I mean, there are things the city could do. I mean, once again, allow people to build on much smaller lots, allow the mother-in-law suites or apartments in people's yards, allow greater density. And those are things that don't cost money but would increase the supply of affordable housing. And that would be very helpful. What's a challenge, too, is New Orleans just has a very difficult time giving certainty to developers. So if people want to develop an Airbnb business, you don't really know what the rules are. And investors hate uncertainty. You know, whatever rule we decide on, whatever we decide that we ultimately want to do, we need to settle it and then say, this is it. We're not going to change it. This is the rule. You can plan on it. You can, because you're taking out a 15 to 30 year mortgage. You know you'll have an opportunity to get your money back. So providing certainty, making it easier to build. You know, we still don't have a permit process that's efficient and streamlined. Those are things we could do internally at no cost that would reduce the cost of housing. But unfortunately, we haven't gotten to those.
Guy, the incoming administration, I'm kind of curious your thoughts on this. You know, we're talking about Elon Musk, and we're talking about Vivek Ramaswamy looking at right-sizing the federal government. There's a recent article in the Wall Street Journal saying there's 2.3 million civilian jobs in the federal workforce today. 70% of these workers are in military-related agencies. I guess it's not a bad exercise to think about and look at right-sizing government, right? Making sure that things are aligned as to what they're actually supposed to do, what they're actually doing, and how many people they actually have in place that are attempting to do these things.
No, it's an exercise that we need to go through. And one of the challenges is you have a lot of people doing things that regulations and rules require them to do, but they're not productive. And our challenge is you have groups like the National Nuclear Regulatory Group that really exist to not approve nuclear plants. And you'll get a plan and, you know, 3 or 4 years later, you know, you get comments. Well, no productive work went on for those 3 or 4 years. It was just a delay. And I think the biggest thing that Elon and Ramaswamy could do is if they could cut away the thicket of regulatory burden so that you could quickly get to a decision. President Biden wanted to build charging stations, and that's a worthy goal. If you're going to go with electric cars, you need chargers. But 3 years after the bill passed, 7 charging stations had been built. Well, that's crazy. I mean, if this is your objective, you need to find a way to accomplish it. But the rules make it very, very difficult for the Fed to do anything. And I think that's where I would start, is cutting away the rules and bringing it to Congress and saying, look, we don't need 20 approvals. We're going to cut it to 3, and there's going to be a time limit. The agencies have to give the approvals within 6 months. You know, it's not productive for them to take years to look at projects because time kills deals. I mean, the longer it takes, the less likely it is for a deal to go through.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how much they're able to accomplish. Obviously, they have a lot of folks shaking in their boots, I guess, for lack of a better term.
They do. You know. And I'm sorry, no, I was just going to say that we can look back to a good example, though. And we right now have 2 people running Congress that are from Louisiana. So you've got Johnson and Steve Scalise. The last time we had a balanced budget is when Bob Livingston was in charge of appropriations, and he helped cut spending. And with Bill Clinton's help, they got to a balanced budget. So it's not impossible, yep. And maybe the precedent is you need some Louisiana people involved to make it happen.
Absolutely. It'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting. We'll continue to monitor that. I'm sure we'll have conversations about it as well. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We will be right back. Stay with us. We are back. We're visiting with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. And Chicago seems to be involved in a bunch of exotic schemes. Guy, I think there's something about an alcohol tax that they're proposing.
Yeah, sometimes things are done that are totally irrational. I think anyone who's watched movies remembers Al Capone in the days of the bootleggers in Chicago. Chicago literally wants to bring them back, and I don't think they've thought this through, but they are passing an alcohol tax to help balance the city budget. Now, the city is going to be almost $1 billion short next year. That's a B, Jesus. Billion. And they're going to raise the alcohol tax to the point where if you're running a small liquor store or a convenience store, It is literally going to be cheaper to drive to Indiana, go to any retail place, buy your alcohol, and bring it back to Chicago and sell it, as opposed to paying the alcohol tax in Chicago. So I think anyone that's rational would realize that these small bodega owners are literally going to get into rum running again when the taxes triple next year. So irrational, but you know where this leads.
Well, they're running out of options. I mean, they're just throwing stuff on the wall to see what's going to stick because, you know, they're spending money hand over fist and they don't want to cut, right? I mean, it's just
crazy.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. The revenue is actually up substantially over the last decade, but spending is up more. And so you've got the millionaire tax, and we're going to hit the Ken Griffin guys. But you also have the poor tax because now you're hitting the guy that goes and shops and gets a beer after work. Well, small retailers are inevitably going to make that trip to Indiana to avoid paying this tax. So literally Chicago is going to bring back bootlegging with an irrational tax policy.
And they're probably lousy collectors there, too, I would suspect.
I suspect as much. I think there's a lot of inefficiency in the way they run their government.
So, Guy, Alvin Kamara signs an extension, and allegedly there were some enormous.
There were, and, you know, it's sometimes fun. We're talking about alcohol. I'm glad that we're not facing Chicago's problem. But the clincher, the cherry on top of the deal that got Alvin to sign a two-year deal is free Abita beer for life. So who wouldn't
take
that deal?
He's a smart man. Smart man, Charlie
Brown.
Exactly.
Good local product.
I love it. Man, he played a hell of a game yesterday, man. He put some moves running downfield. He is so much fun to watch when he gets into open field. I'd like to deliver a beat of beer to the sideline for him after every one of those runs, for sure.
Oh, exactly. My hat's off to him, and good on the Benson organization for thinking that one up.
Yeah. Anything to close the deal, right?
Exactly.
I love it. Guy, as always, we truly appreciate your time, your insight. Lot going on right now. Lot to report on. It was interesting about these changes with the Fed and the economy because that was quick. I mean, it's hard to make a projection, right? I mean, it's almost to week. Have you seen a time like this? I'm sure there has been, but
there's been a lot of turmoil, and I think more uncertainty than any time I can remember.
Yeah, it's crazy. You just can't seem as you know. And I'm reading, you're reading every day, and it's just wait a minute. Yesterday's news is like it's different. It's like completely in the other direction. But we'll continue to try and bring the latest to everyone, and we thank you for that effort as well. Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Have a great week.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way and how manic today is. And folks, don't forget you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. You can listen to this show, Tommy, Scoot, the Sports Guys, or just the hottest clips. Download the Odyssey app and follow us. It's that easy. We realize you can't always listen to the entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want. Scoot's up next. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we're going to talk about the Saints win. As long as we can, let's do. And what the hell happened to LSU? Wow.
That was ugly.
What an embarrassment. I mean, Florida's not that good. We made them look like an NCAA championship team. It was really, really embarrassing. And Tulane on senior day, a big, big day at Annapolis. Navy was beaten by Tulane, shut out 35-0. That was incredible. So Tulane goes to the ACC championship game against Army, and that'll be coming up. So that's really exciting and really great for Tulane. So Energy tells us that an animal caused a power outage on the West Bank. So we can make childproof medicine bottles, but we can't keep animals out of the equipment? I don't know. It just seems like there's enough wire out there that would keep certain animals out, or most, if not all, animals out. So I don't know. We'll talk about that. We got some politics to talk about, and also there's a new special coming up on HBO about yacht rock. It's a sub-genre of rock music, and so in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to do nothing but bumper music with yacht rock. Some of you know what it is, some of you might not know. We'll explain it in the 3 o'clock hour.
All righty, Scoots headed your way with an incredible lineup. Stay tuned, folks. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great Monday evening. We'll see you in the morning.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.